increase the size of their screen share, like putting the mouse over the screen share, holding control and scrolling up. Sometimes you like to zoom in on something.
Hey Sergio, it is, hold on a second, 5:30. I'm just working some stuff with the audio.
Getting a little echo.
We're good. I think we're good now. I got it all ready to go.
Sergio, it is... Oh, I'm still hearing myself. Yep. Sergio, it is 5:31 as vice chair, if you would like to start. But there is a quorum. We do have a quorum. With four members present.
Sure. I didn't realize that I was going to be conducting the meeting today.
Well, Doug is not here yet.
Give it
a few more minutes.
I got it. I just don't know the proper terms, so please forgive me if I don't.
No worries. The start would be to call the meeting to order. Note the time that you're doing it, and then you can start going through the roll, or I can also start going through the roll at that point after you call the meeting to order.
Okay. Just to be mindful of everyone's time, I think I would like to call the meeting to order. The time now is 5:32 p.m. on May 8th of 2024.
So, Doug Mayo. Sergio.
Here.
Mike Shuttleworth.
Here.
Holly Castle.
Here.
Jerry Craig.
Here.
Raul.
Etcetera. With four members present, we do have a quorum, and then we can proceed to item B. Sergio, if you would like more guidance, don't hesitate to let us know.
So I'm assuming that at this point, I will open up for any questions or comments regarding the February 28th, 2024 meeting minutes that were sent out earlier via email.
Mr. Vice Chairman, I would move that we approve the February 28th, 2024 meeting minutes and the March 13th, 2024 meeting minutes.
Second.
Hearing the motion and a second, I open that up for vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Sorry, Sergio.
Go ahead, Aaron.
I was writing everything down. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I am here. Can anybody hear me?
Yeah. Yes. We can hear you, Doug. I'll let you take the reins.
Yeah, you go ahead.
If you want.
You go ahead.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, yeah, I'm here now.
Sure. Doug, we had a motion and a second to approve the February 28th and the March 9th, 13 minutes.
Yeah, I heard that. That's fine. Put me down for a yes.
Okay. Any opposition from the board? Not hearing any opposition, the motion moves. And the February 28th and March 13th, 18 minutes are approved. Okay. Second item is public comments. I am assuming we do not have any members of the public here.
That is correct. I don't see anyone else online at this time.
Okay, and I'm assuming we haven't received any emailed comments as well?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Phil, Olivia, is there was anything that I missed?
Nope, nothing came in recently.
I haven't either.
Okay, well, with no public comments, I will close that session. And I will pass over new business since there isn't anything listed on the agenda. Item 4, unfinished business. I believe the staff has a presentation regarding the comprehensive plan amendment.
Yep.
Yes, I'm a big lead on that.
That'll be me.
Okay. So.
Is everyone
able to see my screen?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I am going to be going over LRN 2024-0002/SEP 2024-0004, which is for price cold storage. It is a comprehensive Major comprehensive map amendment. I'm going through everything, and at the end, we'll go back and do everything in questions. So for the agenda, we're going to go over the history of the property, establishing information. the mapping criteria, the recommendation, and then the next steps that we are looking at. So the history of the property, there's a good amount of history to this property due to what's been going on. If you'd like to follow along, I wish there was a way that I could get a couple screens going so you can look at the report and map at the same time. For the report, in terms of the JSON, that'll kind of help you be a visual. The property currently splits up. The property is part of the Jackson County Comprehensive Plan in 1997, which then designated the property as a rural settlement, which included areas of one area of rural development. The eastern portion is zoned R10-5 as part of the property, as a zone of general rural, GR5 adoption of the Jackson County Comprehensive Plan in 1997, which designated the property as a property rural self-sufficient. In May 2015, it was about the current zone in its form today of the split zone. The RS section of the development, which is the side of the property. In the mid-1980s, early 1990s, when the building permits were obtained for the first cold atmosphere storage and other storage buildings on the property. In 1994, there was a boundary line adjustment that established the current lot that has the Fire District 6 fire station. The eastern section, the R10-5 section, became in its current form in 1999 when there was a subdivision that created the lot. These two separate properties, the east and west, were merged in 2008 to form the subject property as we know it today, parcel 181432-32416. After the property merger in 2009, Yakima County approved additional multiple core cold atmospheric storage buildings to be placed on the property. Only one building was constructed.
most recently in 2024, approximately 134,000 square feet of cold atmosphere storage buildings were approved to be placed on the property. The property that we are looking at is within the glued, slammered area, and the entire history of the names of the case files and the permits are within the staff report. I'm going to go over some establishing information about what is actually they're applying to do. This is going to take place if you're following along in the report on page 17 and 18, and then the first images are going to be on there. I'll just go from there. So here's the visual of the property. We went over it a couple months ago. The green outline is the subject property. This is currently the comprehensive plan designation. The purple is the rural self-sufficient comprehensive plan designation. The red is the rural settlement Lamrid designation. From there, you can see the surrounding properties are both red and purple, mostly kind of within their respective sides, west and east, with a few other places up north. Any slight non-alignments with the property lines, I haven't fully looked into it. I do believe it is a technical map error, but I would have to go in and confirm that. What their proposal to do is to make the entire property within the rural self-sufficient comprehensive plan designation. This will be followed also by the zoning. So the zoning on the west side is in the RS. On the east side is the rural R105 zoning district. We will once again follow that plan and go into all become R105. The reasons for it are we're going to get into the later parts of the slide, but what this rezoning will do, I've highlighted it in the report, are what all the land uses that are available, just to kind of put it in perspective. I highlighted some type 1 permitted uses. These are the lower level administrative, no public comment that we make on them. Is an agriculture stand, single family residence, a minor home occupation, and a utility substation with no building. Examples of type 2 permits, which are permits that are still administrative but have a public comment period, would be an agriculture market, an agriculture service establishment, an agricultural related industry, churches, police stations, fire stations, schools, building and trade contractors, kennels, and nurseries. What would be a type 3 permit, which would be a quasi-judicial, ultimately decided by a hearing examiner, would be a healthcare facility, an agriculture implement sales store, automotive service station, convenience store, farm and ranch supplies, and a restaurant. So those are just examples of what could be done on a property. The cold atmosphere storage buildings have been just recently approved. They're going to take about 5 to 6 years to be placed on the property. So those are some of the other uses that could go there if that doesn't come to fruition, and this is if those don't come to fruition and the property is rezoned. Next, we have the consistency analysis with the Growth Management Act. There's a total of 13 goals. The proposal is consistent with 9 of the 13. I've listed the ones that are consistent, inconsistent, and the ones that are a bit unknown and not applicable. The two goals I wish to highlight are the economic development. One is this is essentially rezoning for the property owner to have price gold storage. They're looking to place more agricultural related industries on the property. The goal is for them to support them in this endeavor. They're a big employer in the area. They create a lot of jobs. And even if they don't use the buildings, they create the buildings that they can rent out to other agriculture producers in the area, and is a regional help in the economic department section. The other part is the public facilities and services. There is a city of Yakima waterline. It's 12 inches in diameter from the maps that we have that runs along the western part. I can actually show you on the map. It runs right here. You can see my cursor. So certain developments, depending on what they're doing, would be required to connect to that city of Yakima waterline if the city is able to service the property. So with some more potential for different types of development, that is an option to go down. But that would be reviewed on a proposal-by-proposal basis. the consistency with Horizon 2040 policies. So this is partially getting more into the detailed reasons why the applicants have sought for the rezone. One is the subdivision potential. They're looking to subdivide the part within that's currently zoned within the rural settlement zoning district. To subdivide within that rural settlement zoning district, individual wells are not allowed. They would have to do at a minimum a two-party shared well. However, if it was to rezone to the R10-5 zoning district, they would be able to subdivide and propose individual well and septic systems. So that is one reason why they're seeking the change. The goal for that, for the conveyed at this point, is because they wish to rent that building out to someone else to use potentially. The other development saying that they're looking to change is the lot coverage or to gain a better favor for them. The rural settlement has a 65% maximum lot coverage requirement. The rural R10-5 does not have a maximum. With the rezone, they would be able to develop the property, propose to develop the property as they see fit, and not have to apply for an administrative adjustment for each building or a concrete apron that they wish to place on the property. Their current development that we just approved kind of hit the max that they can do on the RS side. So that's one reason that they're, another reason that they're looking to apply for the rezone. The alignment with the Type 1 land rent policies. The Horizon 2040 contains specific Type 1 land rent policies for which GLEED is considered. GLEED, the area of GLEED, is a Type 1 land rent. These policies seek to have properties within the RS zoning district serve for local residents in terms of commercial, industrial, and residential uses. The property currently contains businesses that serve the betterment of the economic development of the region as opposed to the local residents. For example, properties to the north and west have barbershops, restaurants, things like that that people can easily walk to and use. People aren't going to walk into the colder atmosphere storage unless they live nearby. And it's not aimed that there'll be a lot of employment for those specific buildings. For those reasons, those two policies of Type 1, of serving the local area's needs, and the other policy is that the goal is for infill development of commercial, industrial, and residential uses to happen within the rural settlement zoning district. That is going to be partially difficult on the property due to what is anticipated to be constructed. If they fully construct what has been approved, a lot of the property will be covered, so there wouldn't be a lot of potential infill development that could occur. So those two policies of serving infill development and that infill development serving the local needs of residents are not going to most likely not be met on this property. So the property is not in line with Horizon 2040's policies, and which would support a rezoning of it. The property is outside of any urban growth areas and outside of any neighborhood plans. There's none of those to apply to the proposal. And the proposed change, the rezoning, would be in line with the county's capital facilities plan. So these are the proposed land use designation mapping criteria analysis. So this is looking at the rural self-sufficient. The details for all of these points are within the staff report. But as you can see here, 5 of the 6 criteria for the mapping criteria of the RSS designation is met. The next 3 slides are going to take a bit because that's because I couldn't fit them all onto one slide. So these are the existing land use designation criteria mapping, the existing land use designation mapping criteria, which would be for the rural settlement part. The first part you can see is all yes. Total, there's a total of 9 criteria for this designation. 4 of the 9 requirements are met. These are all where the first yeses are what was established the RS to be. So a bit of history, the rural settlement established, the boundaries of the rural settlement zoning district are established based off of development at beginning in 1990, and it can't expand past that, which is due to Washington state law. So that's where these are deemed a yes. However, the other parts that are no are ones that we already kind of touched on, is that nothing on the property is really serving the immediate local needs. The goal of the Lambert of these areas was that these are areas that didn't incorporate, but they had some sort of level of urban development, and they provided some sort of level of daily needs. This is not anticipated to happen on the project based off of the current, on the property based off of the current projects that have been approved. And again, the this is the next part, and again, the specifics for these items are also addressed within the staff report. So in short, the recommendation is a yes to support the redesignation and the rezoning on the property due to the economic development advantages the property will provide to the area. The rezoning is better in line with the Horizon 2040 policies and the mapping criteria for the rural self-sufficient comprehensive plan designation. In the initial noticing, no public comments were received in the negative or in the positive for the proposal. So just kind of going to go over the next steps. The environmental review is currently being done concurrently, and we are moving forward with that. The next step will be to have a hearing. This is will be a work session, considered a work session, with the Planning Commission. Then there would be a deliberation and vote on the staff's recommendation, which can happen the same day as the hearing. That would then be passed to the Board of County Commissioners to have another open record hearing for them to review and Commission's recommendation, and then the Board of County Commissioners would have the final vote on LRN 2024-2. The last part I wish to mention, and this would be changed for the hearing draft, that would be submitted on page 11 of the report. There are two sentences that are contradictory to each other. The first sentence states that staff is not indicating the redesignation should occur, and the second sentence then says staff is recommending the redesignation to occur. That will be changed to support the staff's recommendation that the redesignation and the zoning should occur. I wanted to bring that to your attention. It was a very technical kind of report to what I did and what I went through. There's some more specifics. So now wrapping up that part, we'll go to questions if anyone has any questions.
Aaron, was a notice provided to the neighbors in bilingual pamphlets or bilingual? Oh, it's not provided. Okay.
There are
a good nine. I think it is, and I think you can see in the surrounding maps, I think there's 60 adjacent properties in the which there definitely could be a Spanish speaker. The next notice going out will be the notice of hearing for the Planning Commission.
Okay. Can we ensure that that's also in Spanish, or is that something that we have to vote on?
I don't know that off the top of my head. That's something that I would want to go and check with Tommy about. Olivia, if you have anything that you know more than I on that topic.
I know, we can definitely ask Tommy if that's something that's available to us, but I know in the past that's been the policy to not provide it in multiple language for hearing notices like this. I think there was reasons, I'm not sure what they were, having to hire somebody to translate it, an official translator, I'm not exactly sure, but we can bring that to Tommy if you'd like us to.
Yeah, please do. I'm just concerned about the liability standpoint, especially since we've received a lot of media attention. As a county, as a whole, I prefer to avoid anything that's controversial, even if it doesn't appear to be at face value.
Okay. We can definitely ask Tommy. We'll bring that back to you at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions?
Anything
that requires clarification or that I went over too fast?
No, I think it's straightforward. I do have concern about not having any building coverage limits. I understand that It's an agricultural, a commercial area already, so the neighbors are probably used to it. It's just, I'd be concerned if it was full coverage.
So the other things to keep in mind on that, the notice of
color code, yeah,
for the future hearing, there were comments provided by neighbors on the cold atmosphere storage buildings that were recently approved. And they did have concerns that were that I addressed in the report. I can share that decision with the commission. The other part is there are individual well. There's an individual well and septic systems on the property which can't be covered. The health district is reviewing those. Is in charge of reviewing that. There are also underground fire suppression lines for fire flow. To my understanding, those cannot be covered as well. That would help to limit some of it. The buildings do also have to meet setbacks, so there won't be an entire coverage, and due to the approaches that are there, that'll limit the traffic flow. There will be semi-trucks going through, so they're going to have to make sure that they have enough space for fire apparatus access for requirements. Most of what's on the western side, and then you go back to the eastern side, and go back to the image.
What's mostly
on the darker red
is already
covered.
I don't foresee them being able to put much more over here, partially for those reasons, setback requirements, fire flow requirements, fire apparatus access requirements.
There may be an ability to put something more up here. However, this is their main approach,
and they do have a gate that most likely will be placed there.
That was to help to limit traffic. I don't know if one of those might comment, but traffic is idling in the right of way to get onto the property.
The gate was originally here, so if they want to keep it,
they're going to have to move it forward.
That's going to limit what they can build there. Over here is where the well, and right here is the septic.
So they won't be able to approach too much over here. I'd have to check with the health district.
Over here, they're not able to, it's just too skinny. So there's more areas to build over here, and the southern portion over here. There is a wetland there. It was reviewed recently by a qualified professional, deemed it to be caused by irrigation. Which is not regulated by Yakima County Code. Wetlands caused by irrigation. So there might be some more development there.
I understand your concern, but that was meant to address part of that.
That won't be fully covered.
Yeah, I'd certainly appreciate to receive those comments from that last application that was submitted. Again, I get that it's a commercial area, and I'm not opposed to it per se, but it would be nice to have the perspective of the community.
So I can also forward those comments along to everyone so everyone has them to look at them.
I was expecting that we might get some comments on this initial noticing that may or may not have been related.
Nothing came in, but they won't come later, and they'll be notified of the process that the property will be posted. And so there certainly may be opportunities where we have open records for neighbors to come.
Okay. Am I still live?
Yes.
So just thinking of Gilbert's situation out in Wiley City and wondering with the traffic flow and people not really knowing what streets are going to be on. And I wonder, I mean, Glead's pretty tight already. Just wondering if that situation needs to be addressed in the commissioner, in the report at some time.
So that was addressed in the recent CUP that approved 134,000 square feet. square foot of cold atmosphere storage. Comments from the Yakima County Roads Department indicated the roads were sufficient to handle the anticipated amount of traffic generated on the property, and they did not warrant a traffic impact analysis. Any other speeding concerns or idling concerns on the county right-of-way was passed along to the Yakima County Sheriff's Office for Enforcement. The one part of there was some muffler jack brake concerns that where they can reach out to the Yakima County Roads Department to put up signs. There was talk about, did you see comments from neighbors that trucks were backing up onto their property? And that is reviewed as considered such fire trespassing, which is something they would have to tie within enforce. But in terms of the anticipated amount of traffic, the roads department indicated that those are sufficient. And the approach is the existing approaches are sufficient to what they're expecting.
But that is also something certainly I can look to add into the hearing draft to acknowledge.
If there are no other questions, then I can wrap up and then we can move along to the next item.
Well, at this time, you want us to vote on this now?
So this is a work session for us to talk about it, look at it.
The next stage is to have an open record hearing to Sergio's point.
It would be nice if neighbors were able to come and submit comments on their feedback on the proposal. That is when we will be able to have the vote. And at that point, I'm going to amend the error on page 11 of the report so it's more accurate there.
Is there any place closer to lead to hold a hearing?
That is something that I can look into, definitely.
Final question on the notices. I don't know how much we're supposed to share or we have historically shared, but I suspect that if we had comments for the building, but we didn't have comments for this specific topic, it might just be that the community doesn't understand the impact of the prospect of future hearing and decision. Can you expand as to what's included on those notices and outreach?
Yeah, so I can send the comments, I can send you the notice that I sent out.
For the physical buildings themselves and for the initial start of the major comprehensive plan. And you can see the notices we get pretty in-depth, as much as we need to. To your point, the building is something that's much more tangible and understandable, whether the zone application is a bit more technical. The other part is they just got the notices, so there could be confusion, so it's going on kind of close back to back. Any neighbors who commented got a notice of decision for the buildings, and then they got the notice of the V-zone, so there could be also some potential confusion there. But I can pass along what was sent to the surrounding neighbors and agencies as well.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Just making a note. And I'll probably send those along first before I'm able to check in with Tommy on, see if the notices can be done in Spanish, or what is the process there. That way you have them to look at.
So if there's no other questions or concerns, I believe then we would be ready to move on.
Can you bring the agenda back up?
Hey, Phil, are you able to do that?
I'll do it right now.
The next item on the list is just an update from staff regarding the solar ordinance.
I don't believe Tommy had an update specifically on the solar. On a related note, he did want us to convey that the batteries were moratorium went into effect yesterday.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
or something.
As a request by the
commissioners.
For the request of the commissioners.
Does that have a tangible effect on the existing projects?
I don't believe so, but there's one project that we currently have under review. I don't know if it's been issued. I can look into it and confirm it, Tommy, and we can get back to you in that same email.
I have some information on that. Tommy specifically addressed that existing application at the hearing yesterday and said that it would not be affected because it has already been determined to be a complete application, so it wouldn't be affected by the moratorium. That's prospective only.
Okay. Okay. Is that the end of the update?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. On to the fifth item, communications, reports of subcommittees and study groups. I don't think we have either. Status report of cases before the Board of County Commissioners. Is there any report back on that?
Yeah, I can give a quick update on what has come from the agritourism project with the ATOs, the wineries, breweries, distilleries, and the outdoor festivals. We've taken your Planning Commission recommendation to the board. I think it's through several work sessions, the public hearing that was in December, and then several follow-up work sessions since then. And there's been some significant changes since the recommendation. They are available online right now if you'd like to go check them out. But we're still kind of going through those, making some more recommended changes, and then the board is potentially going to hold another public hearing pretty soon, just to get all the public comment as possible. And that should be, I'm thinking, June or so. It hasn't been set yet, but it'll be coming here soon. But after the public hearing, then things should be wrapping up, and that should be, that project should be done. So that's coming to the end, but we're still going through work sessions and getting that final part of it done. But like I said, the draft is available on the agritourism website, and there are some significant changes since you've seen it last. So that's it for that one. I don't think there's anything else.
Is there
go ahead.
A notable difference? Is there a notable difference that just like highlights five items?
Okay. One significant thing that stands out in my head is the commissioners wanted to look at the idea of potentially allowing the restaurants in the wineries, breweries, and distilleries and all levels of the ATOs. And so it was built in for the ATOs. If you get an ATO, then part of that would be a restaurant. And with the wineries, breweries, and distilleries, they approached it, if you get a winery permit, then you could also apply for a restaurant permit as a potentially type 2 or type 3 permit. So there would be two separate ones, whereas with the ATO, they would be married into one. So that was probably the most significant one. I think when we talked with the Planning Commission, the ATO size, I think we got down to 3 acres was your recommendation, between 3 and 5. And now the board is considering maybe 1 acre as a minimum for an ATO. Let me see. The overnight stays associated with the ATO destination, the ATO resort level. Right now there is unlimited number of overnight stay units, whether they're RVs or tents or stick-built cabins. They're considering having all levels, or the combined ATO resort and destination. That's combined as per your recommendation, but changing that to an unlimited. I think your recommendation was 12, capped at 12 units, so now it's potentially going to be unlimited. And the reason they were considering that is because there's going to be natural limits from the property itself. They're still limited to the 1 acre development for non-agricultural uses, and that was required by the RCW, so we can't change that 1 acre. So whatever they feel they can put, the winery, the tasting rooms, the parking lot, and potentially overnight units, all within 1 acre. So there's going to be some limiting factors. It's not going to be, 100 units. There's going to be some natural limitations. So they felt it was arbitrary for us to put a number on that 12. And however, they can feel they can design the application at that point. So that one was a huge one. Those are some of the big ones that come at the top of my head that have changed since you've seen it.
Okay, so more flexibility is essentially the
yeah,
summary.
Quite a bit more flexibility for the property owner.
Yeah. Okay. Secretary's report. So I was just on vacation the last couple of weeks. So for the emails talking about the next upcoming meetings, it'll be coming from me again. Just want to let everyone know that. Okay. And I think we've gone through it all. I'm assuming we haven't received an update about a meeting space, right?
No, not to my knowledge. I don't know if Phil or Olivia have any other updates on that.
No updates. We're still looking for a place that will hold us. I think the problem is the evening ones and then the lack of a budget to pay for any spaces or security that's required. So we're still searching, so.
Okay. I'll give back half my salary to rent a spot.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Not hearing any additional questions or agenda items.
I'll move to adjourn.
Second. Okay. Hearing a motion and a second. Can we have a vote on it? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No opposition. The motion holds, and we have adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Stop for a second after they stopped the recording.
Okay.
Is it stopped?
No, not yet.
I just stopped the recording, okay. So we're good now.
So are you going to run in, are you in the 14th or the 15th?
I'm sorry?
Isn't Sergio going to run for?
Oh, I'm not running. That's Raul. I don't remember what he's specifically running for, but I think it's in the 14th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the people, they just use this as a springboard going to politics.
I'm not interested in politics, so I'll be here for a while.
Good.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Already, folks. All
right. See you guys next
later.
Month. Bye.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Bye bye. See you tomorrow.
You did really good.
I know exactly what I did.